Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Hi, everybody. This is Marnie. Excited to have you with us this afternoon. And if you're listening to Archives, we're excited to have you there, too. Our guest today is Wendy Pett, and we're going to be talking about the 7 keys to releasing your excess weight now. This is a challenge for a lot of people, whether you have a lot of weight to lose or a little weight to lose. Getting rid of the pounds that you don't want anymore is a challenge, and our guest today is really well equipped to share with us how to release the pounds instead of just lose them. We're going to talk about what releasing is and how you do that in just a few minutes. But Wendy Pett is our guest today. She's a national television show host who also speaks at large corporations, churches, and universities promoting her visibly fit health and fitness philosophies. She is the Midwest Regional Director for Christian Women in Media, has a doctorate in natural medicine degree, and serves as a fitness coach and consultant with individuals across the country. She has a program called Visibly Fit, and she's here again today to share with us the 7 keys to releasing your excess weight now. Welcome, Wendy.
Hey, thanks, Marnie. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so excited to have you here and to get to talk about this subject. As you know, over the past few years, I've been losing weight very gradually using a system called Eating with God, and I've lost well over 50 pounds now on my way to losing 100 pounds total. And this program has been for me really awesome because I didn't have to buy any special kinds of foods. I didn't have to join any programs. I just get to enjoy every bite eating with God and being focused on that. And I love your Visibly Fit program for the same reason, Wendy, because you don't have to join a gym. You don't have to join any special program. You can do it wherever you are, whenever you have time. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today, too. But maybe you can give us a little background about how you got into the fitness business and where that started for you.
I have been involved with physical culture all my life, but anywhere from teaching aerobics back in the day where you wore the leg warmers and the headbands to teaching dance. I've been a dancer since I was 3. I've taught other forms of physical fitness classes as well. But as far as what I teach, I've been teaching it for well over a decade, and it all started when I was actually in a snowmobile accident. I live in Minnesota, and I was out on the sled and going about 55 miles an hour and got in an accident, and I hit a snow-covered culvert and went flying through the sled and hit a tree. And so I woke up, because I was unconscious for a while, but I woke up to a broken clavicle and torn shoulder muscles, and you know, really had to go in and see what all was going on and what the problem was. But the orthopedic surgeon that I spoke with said, oh, yeah, this is definitely a surgery situation. And I said, oh, no, it's not. So I really, you know, talked with God, and I'm like, you know, there's got to be a natural way of healing my shoulder and, you know, point me in that direction. And so I really came across an exercise program that's been around for thousands of years. And the ancient Olympians actually used to train this type of way. It's using your body as your gym, but I'll explain more about that in a minute. But really what it did is it healed my body in record time, and the orthopedic surgeon was even shocked. So I'm grateful and feel blessed that I even was pointed in that direction. But yeah, that's what I teach today, and I've had the blessing and privilege to share it with others.
Oh, that's just awesome. Well, you've worked with a lot of people who have excess poundage or who maybe have sedentary lives, and there's excuses that we all give, but you think that there's one kind of main excuse that people give to not diet or to not exercise in the way that they should. What is the one that you hear a lot?
Yeah, the one I hear every time is I'm too what? Busy. Too busy to eat healthy and too busy to work out. And I just put a kibosh on that immediately because, I mean, honestly, how much more time does it take to throw in a healthy piece of God-given fruit or vegetable as opposed to a bag of chips or a breakfast bar or something like that? It's just a mentality that people need to change the way they think, because it's very simple to eat healthy. And it's also not expensive to eat healthy. That's another myth that we could go into. But, yeah, it's simple to just eat what is provided for us, and that's the fresh fruits and vegetables and lean proteins and whole grains. And you don't have to go to anything that's bad, canned, or boxed.
Hmm. Now, when you think about the people that you work with, when they come from a typical American diet and move into a more healthy or whole foods diet like that, what is the biggest challenge that you see them facing?
Well, it depends on the individual person and their quote-unquote craving or their desire. Maybe it's something salty. Maybe it's, more of the fatty foods. Maybe it's sugar. It depends on the individual person. But the biggest thing is that you don't have to eliminate everything all at once. And I think that's the big misunderstanding, is that people think that they have to go on this quote-unquote diet, when I don't believe in diets. Diet has the word die in it, D-I-E. And when you eliminate something from your diet, that's all you're constantly craving and thinking about, especially when you're in a situation where you need to release a lot of weight. So what I get my clients to do is just to slowly take off the bad things off their plate and then, slowly add something, green and live on their plate that is healthy. And, it's a process. It's not all at once. It really isn't, because if you have someone do it all at once, more than likely they're going to fail.
Mm. You have a process that you called releasing weight. Talk to us about that. It's not losing weight, it's releasing it. Of course, you're losing at the same time. But
yeah, well, and the reason I don't say losing, and I've said this many times on different interviews, but losing, when we lose something, what do? We tend to find that thing that we lost, and whether it's consciously or unconsciously, we tend to find it. So when we look at releasing the weight and getting rid of, like, bye-bye, you're gone, you no longer serve me, and realize that it's emotionally tied to the way that we've been feeding our bodies. I mean, most people stuff their emotions with food. Many people, I wouldn't say most, but many do, whether it's through, emotions of depression or anger or resentment, loneliness, boredom, you name it. There could be food involved. And so when you can release that emotion that's tied to the food, then the neurological mind will change the way it thinks, and you start having and creating different habits.
When I'm doing the eating with God process, which is just to focus on either before the bite goes in or usually when it's in my mouth, to be really grateful for the taste that's in my mouth, as I've changed, as I've just gone through this process, and I think I'm especially even more vigilant to do that and was earlier on in the process when I had foods in my mouth that I knew I shouldn't have been eating. Like I was already full when I was putting it in my mouth, or or I was eating something that I knew wasn't healthy for me when I needed to eat something healthy. It wasn't like I had extra calories to spare in that. I was just choosing. And it was interesting to me that just pausing long enough to talk to God about how grateful I was for the ability to even eat things, for the ability to have a mouth, have a tongue that could taste, have a body that actually could still process it. The attitude of gratitude has been really helpful to me in the process of taking the weight off, because I've been able to focus off of what I'm giving up and onto what I'm getting. And that's been a huge change for me in the thinking. I'm always kind of a grateful person, but when it came to food, Wendy, I felt a lot of guilt about it, because I was often putting foods in my mouth that I knew weren't the best choices.
And yeah, I think you're alone there, Marnie. I think that's pretty common. And and also what I think is common is, going back to that busy word, is that people are eating so quickly because they do have their schedule so full that they're just cramming food down their throat. And it may not even be emotionally related at that point. It's just because they're so darn busy that they're just trying to go to the next thing, and they don't even realize that they are full. They're eating so fast, they haven't had a chance for the stomach to send the signal to the brain to say I'm full, and by that time they've already overeaten. So I like the idea, of course, that you are thinking through each bite, and you're giving gratitude, and you're like, thank you, Lord, for a mouth that can chew and for giving me life and, that kind of thing. I think that's so awesome. I remember as a kid, we used to make fun of my dad because We always said he chewed his food like cud, like a chow, like a cow does with cud, because he chews and chews. And my mom always tells about a story about one time when I went to a restaurant, and she actually left him at the restaurant because they had a movie to catch, because he chews his food so slowly. But I'll tell you what, my dad is not overweight.
Right.
And, exactly. And he enjoys his food. And there is something to that. There really is.
I really believe that the purpose of food is to have communion. I mean, when I think about communion and I think about food, that is why God gave us food. It's for communion and for relationship. And what happens is that we do get busy in a bad way where we just aren't thinking about the food at all. Even
It becomes abused.
Yeah, and I don't even think it's all about being really literally busy. I think you're just busy thinking about other things or talking to the people you're with. Just mentally preoccupied with the other things around you. And to just pause long enough to be grateful for each bite just changes the whole experience for me. Now, you talk about releasing weight, and I am just curious, when you have people go this gradual way, you know, what kind of changes are you looking at? Is the weight coming off very quickly? Is it coming off very gradually? You know, what is the result of going in a gradual way?
It's coming off in a very healthy fashion. And, of course, it depends on the person I'm working with and their metabolism and where they're starting and their goals and that kind of thing. But, you know, I've had clients that have released 100 pounds in 10 months, which is a very healthy way of releasing it. And it wasn't this fast get it all off. It was a gradual process. And, of course, you know, it's not just what they're eating. It's how they're moving their bodies and how they're exercising. And that's where my Visibly Fit program comes in, too, where you're using what God gave you as your gym, your body. Our minds, Marnie, are so powerful that we can actually, we can actually think into the muscle that's working and flex it and tense the muscle as if we had a weight in our hand without even having the weight in our hand, but still lifting that weight. Does that make sense? It's like if you were going to do a bicep curl, for instance, you would imagine that you have a weight in your hand, whether it's 10 pounds, 25 pounds, whatever you know, however strong you are, and you slowly bring that weight up as if you're thinking into the muscle, the bicep, and you're squeezing with all your might. You can actually lift that amount of weight, and it doesn't put wear and tear on your joints, tendons, and ligaments. Excuse me. And so I think that is so important, too, because especially as when people are overweight and obese, they are already seeing a lot of stress on their joints, tendons, and ligaments. So we don't need to put more stress on that. And so that's how my program helps them, too, because it's not something that's high, you know, it's not major impact where it's gonna hurt. I mean, you're going to feel the soreness in your muscles because you're working them, but you're not going to feel the aches and pains in your joints. And that's really important.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about that. We're going to take a little break and come back and talk about how to master the mental and spiritual decision-making process. And then later in the show, we're going to talk about the actual exercise system that you train. So we'll be right back.
The fastest and easiest way to find out which major women's events are coming to your area is to visit www.womensevents.info. That's womensevents.info. .info. It's the only directory of its kind, and it features all of the major events like Women of Faith, Beth Moore, eConference Women, and so many others. It's free to search, and you can find it all at womensevents.info. Do you ever need speakers for dinners, retreats, conferences, or other women's events? Check out www.womenspeakers.com. It's the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, featuring over 1,500 Christian women speakers, some near you, and some from every level of experience and fee range you can imagine. So you're sure to find lots of great speaker options for you and your next event over at www.womenspeakers.com. That's womenspeakers.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Marnie. Welcome back to another edition of Marnie's Friends. We're here today with Wendy Pett, and we are talking about the seven keys to releasing your excess weight now We talked about the number one excuse that people give, which is, I am too busy. And number two was how to release excess weight, which is to change your mind, not lose it, in which case your subconscious mind just wants to continually be finding it again, but instead to really just have it be gone for good. We're going to talk right now about mastering the mental and spiritual decision-making process. And Wendy, why don't you just give us some background of what you mean by that?
Well, first of all, Proverbs 23:7, Marnie, reads, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when I think of that scripture, I immediately, I'm in tune with, okay, what is my mind thinking, and what are my clients thinking? Because that is what you become, and it's just a powerful scripture. And so I really get people to see what is in their mind, because that is what's in their heart, and what do they truly believe? What were they told as a child? What were they... what are they telling themselves now that they're continually believing and manifesting in their lives when it's not true? I mean, we're children of God. We're created in His image. And that's the bottom line. But unfortunately, there's been a lot of lies that people have just held on to, and they have these strongholds around the lies. And so that's really where I really talk to my clients about that and get them to break free of those struggles, of the lies. And so... You know, first, I think it's important to, before, you know, as you're going through a transition of, okay, I think when I look in the mirror, I look at myself and say, I'm fat. Well, okay, the first thing that we need to do to correct that problem is, are you in God's Word every day? Are you really acknowledging who you are and the person that He has created you to be, to serve Him and to honor Him? And that's through your body, number one. Are you really in tune with that? And number two, if you could incorporate scripture and positive affirmations in your life, it's so important. I mean, I have scripture and affirmations all over my house, in my car, around my computer. I just think it's important to absorb the truth because, again, the world and there's just too many lies around us that can seep through. So if you surround yourself by good and what's pure and positive, then you'll just start to believe that, because it is the truth. So I think those are very important, and I don't know if you're that way too, but I think it's important to have that around us at all times.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess where I ended up getting, and where so many people that I talk to are at, just because everybody has their different groups that God has them working with, is, you know, working with the people who have been praying, who have been fasting, who have been memorizing scripture, who have been doing all these things and still are having a challenge with weight. And what I train in the success principles is, you know, our subconscious mind is working at it's processing about 20 million stimuli per second. Our conscious mind is processing only 40 stimuli per second. And so if we put these two in a boxing ring together, a little 20-pound, you know, a little 40-pound guy against this 20-million-pounder, who's going to win? The subconscious is always going to win.
Yeah.
You bet. The heavyweight's going to win. And so what happens is we start toward a goal, and we get going toward this goal, but then not very long down the path, we get distracted with something. Some stress comes in our life or some, you know, season where we can't focus as much on the goal, and then the subconscious comes back in and gently just takes us back to what is our now status quo, which is eating
right.
The way we've always been eating. And
well,
so
don't you think goals should, I mean, this is what I believe, is that goals should be chunked down, is what I call it, chunk it out. Because if you just look at where you're starting now and the end result goal, you're going to get lost in between. So if you can have like little stages of the goal and have little mini goals, then you're going to see more success along the way. And then you don't get as lost.
Well,
in that
a lot of times the goals are, you know, the goals are like that, lose 100 pounds. Well, you cannot lose that. You can't even lose 5 pounds.
No.
You can take one less bite, and you can take, you know, one less bite at a time. And that's
right.
What's going to make the difference, or one different bite. And so I think that the goals get way, way, way too big and just discouraging. And then, of course, deep down, you know, I've never been able to do that before, so I probably won't be doing it. You know, and your subconscious mind is feeding you all of these things all the time. So even though your conscious mind might be really aware of what's going on, I think it's been interesting in my journey, Wendy. When I got close to the 50-pound point, I couldn't get there. I was really close to that, and I couldn't get there. And it took me a long time because, to me, that was a really big number. 50 mm-hmm. pounds was a big number. It was just like subconsciously there's a little mental block there. And I love the understanding of the how the subconscious is working, because it lets me, when I'm having a struggle like that, when I'm hitting a roadblock like that, it lets me actually step back and say, okay, there's a reason why I'm not able to just go straight there. If I didn't have, if I had alignment with this, if I was in agreement with myself completely on this, I would go straight there.
Well, and that goes to the perception. You know,
yeah.
Our perceptions are based on our values, and you know, it's all tied into the emotions that we have perceived within a circumstance or situation. And so it's taking a step back and taking that, you know, airplane, helicopter, big view and seeing the big picture. Because when you're hovering and you can see what's going on and you can see your success marks all along the way, then you're more inclined to keep going. But if you're just, if you get stuck on that one emotional trigger that you've always gotten stuck on, then you're going to continue to get stuck on it. So if you back away and decide, okay, I'm going to find out why this triggers this emotion, and then correct it, and then you'll continue to propel forward.
I really
but
feel
acknowledging
like
it and accepting it is the first step. You know, so many times people don't acknowledge it, and then they continue to do that same vicious cycle over and over again and wonder why. So
yeah.
That is the biggest thing, acknowledgement.
Yeah, and I think that's a point, too, where a lot of times a personal coach, even just a short-term personal coach,
mm-hmm.
can help you to go past this one point where you keep getting stuck. You know, as soon as you realize, you know, I am stuck. This isn't just that I'm not making much progress here. I'm really stuck here. If you can't figure it out yourself, well, then work with a coach, because someone like you say that has a different perspective. Just a little bit of a different perspective is going to make a huge difference there in being able to
Absolutely.
See what's
you,
going on.
You look at the professional athletes in the world and how, you know, the top dog athletes, they still have coaches. And yet we think, oh, my gosh, how could they even need a coach? They're the best at what they do. Well, because they are so close at what they're doing, one little tiny difference that the coach sees can make it their game even better. And that's just the same thing within our lives. I mean, one little tiny, you know, switch that maybe a coach can view from the outside looking in as opposed to inside trying to see inside, then you're gonna see success, because it'll get you over that hump.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want us to talk a little bit right now about the concept of self-care and why that can be a hang-up for a lot of gals. I always think, you know, it was God's idea first, and I think about that because he says, if you think about the greatest commandments that Jesus said, you know, all the commandments are boiled down into these two things: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, first of all, who's that one about? It's about God and one person, you.
That's
and then
right.
The second one is love your neighbor as who? Yourself.
And yep.
If you aren't taking care of you, you cannot take care of anybody else. If you aren't taking care of you, your relationship with God is hurting and your relationship with self is hurting. Yet what we find is that with women, because life is so busy and because, honestly, so many people count on us to do many things for them, and women are naturally givers. We're naturally prone. God built us to just pour our lives into other people. But when that self-care isn't there, when you aren't taking care of you, you really can't take care of anybody else, and your body suffers for it.
That's right. If mom ain't happy, nobody else is either. And it
that's
is
right.
So true. But it does create a ripple effect, and I believe that women especially are the nucleus within the home as far as health and self-care are concerned.
Yeah, for sure.
For most families. They are the ones that typically go out and get the groceries. They are the ones that typically decide what activities the families will be doing. And so if you yourself see the self-worth in caring for you, because if you care enough, like you said, for yourself, then you're going to be able to care for your spouse, your children, your friends. You're going to be a better person in the community. It's just going to create that ripple effect. But you really are. You're so important. And you are the nucleus of that family. So if you could just see that and not feel the pressure of it, but just see that as not a selfish thing. It's a selfless
right.
thing to care for yourself. Because, again, you know, we are created in God's image. And that's such a beautiful thing. And, you know, don't beat yourself up if you're saying, okay, I look in the mirror right now and I don't see that I'm created in his image. I see all these flaws. Well, let me tell you what, you are created in his image and he loves you, and you deserve to be your best version of yourself. And I wrote a quote on my Facebook page today, on my fan page, and it says, sometimes you need to step into your own shadow in order to find the light. And I think that is so true, because there's a lot of people that have stuff, you know, they have their dark stuff, whether it's in eating uncontrollably or just depression or whatever that dark is. Acknowledge it and take those next steps forward so you can bust through that shadow, because you really will see the light when you bust through it and you acknowledge it. But just ignoring it isn't going to do anyone any good. It's going to keep you in your same place that you're in right now.
Mm. That's great advice. I know when I was, even before I started eating with God, this has just been a challenge for me my whole life. I started actually as a fitness spa manager when I was a teen, and managed some spas and health clubs in Minneapolis, and then went on to do some corporate fitness. And it wasn't until after I had babies that I kind of lost track of how to eat properly for a while there. And what was interesting to me is that during those years, I would feel so guilty and so awful about my body. And one time I was reading that verse about your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it struck me that my body was the temple of the Holy Spirit, whether it was in great shape or poor shape. It was always going to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that was not something that was supposed to produce guilt in me. It was supposed to be something that made me grateful that he didn't leave just because I was big,
That's right.
I was making some choices that weren't healthy. He still stuck
still
with me,
you.
And he believed in me, and he was coaching me all along. And what I needed to do was listen and follow that plan. A lot of what caused me grief was the guilt and shame part of the obesity, and that really tripped me up, which is why eating with God was so healthy for me. A lot of times, even eating those terrible bites that I knew were not the right bites, I would just be saying, thank you, God, and teach me how to eat, and teach me how to eat. And that's exactly what he's been doing. There's so much hope, no matter how much weight you have to lose, no matter how much how sedentary your life has gotten, and you know you need to pick that up. There's just so much hope, and God just loves you so much wherever you are right now. He's not about, and this is another thing that God was repeating to me over and over through multiple different ways. It isn't even about your weight. It isn't even about how you appear. What it's about is your heart, and that's always what he's going for, and he will use whatever you have in your life, whatever is bad, whatever is good, he wants to use it to draw us closer to Christ. And eating and exercising are just one of those things. When you think about self-care yourself, Wendy, what are a couple things that you build into your life that are taking care of Wendy?
Gosh, I do several things, but I go to a chiropractor. I get a massage. I do all these things that a lot of women would feel guilty about, but it's part of self-care, you know, and I make sure I spend money on organic foods, and I make sure I do the things that I know are healthy, not just now, but in the long run, too, and I know what makes me tick, and I also take the time to get outdoors and go for a gratitude walk or a run. And I make sure I plan that time accordingly, because I know that my time with God and being outside is such a special time, and I get recharged and re-energized. And everybody has a different, something that will re-energize them. But for me, it's having that time of getting outside. So I make sure I have, I create that time. I schedule it as an appointment, because you are an important appointment. So don't think you're not, and don't pencil it in. Pen it in. Don't change it with another appointment, because there's always going to be someone else that will try to shove you out of that appointment place. But you're just as important as some of your other appointments. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah. I think for me, I try to get good sleep as a routine. I get great sleep and eat as naturally as possible, and then exercise. We go to a pool 3 times a week and swim laps. My husband and I do that together, as well as do some kettlebells and a couple of the exercises that I learned from you, Wendy. And then also I take a whole day of rest every week, where if it can't be Sunday, it's a different day then. And this is hard to do, but about maybe 15 years ago, God showed me that this promise was for me, that I could have rest in the same way that he wanted me to. And I've really claimed that. And it's a challenge to do that, but I take a complete techno break and take a break from thinking about work if work comes to my mind. Either if it's something that needs to be done, I just write it down in a notebook and then I go back to my break again. Or if it's something that doesn't need to be written down, I just say, nope, I'm not thinking about that today. And I just go back to thinking about other things. And, you know, God had a reason for that daily, that weekly break, because he knew that our bodies needed it. We need to actually break away from the busyness, from the cares of life, and to spend quality time with him, with our minds not cluttered with other things. And I've really learned to love that weekly break. I don't really think I could do my life without it, which is funny because I never had it before. But now that I've had it for a while.
God did not create the Sabbath for himself. He created the Sabbath for man. And he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, of course, because he's God, but he knew that we needed that. We needed it not just for communion and relationship with him, but we needed it to get recharged and energized mentally, physically, and spiritually. I mean, and to keep that family unit bonded. And I think that is so missing in America today. I mean, it just is. And so I'm a big proponent of that rest day for sure.
Mm. Well, this is Marnie Swedberg. We're visiting today with Wendy Pett. Her website is wendypett.com, and you spell Wendy, W-E-N-D-I-E, and P-E-T-T. Pett has two T's at the end, wendypett.com. And we're going to come right back and talk about how to easily incorporate exercise into your everyday, and you guys are going to love this. We'll be right back.
Successfully maximizing the gifts God has given us is the best gift that we can give back to God. Are you 100% clear about why you're here, about how God defines success for you personally? Are you on track with God's plan for your life? The best life on planet Earth followed by the best possible eternity for you? If not, check out the Success Principles Intensive Training course over at Marnie.com. It's a 6-hour online program that will change how you define and do your life from today forward. It's a biblically based approach to goal setting and achievement. So check it out under the Training tab at Marnie.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Marnie, and you are tuned in to Marnie's Friends, a weekly training show with experts. And our guest today is Wendy Pett of WendyPett.com. She's training us on the 7 keys to releasing your excess weight now. Welcome to you, and welcome back, Wendy. We are going to talk next about easily incorporating exercise into every day. And, Wendy, this is actually your number one thing that you champion. You have been so creative about it, about getting the word out. You love to teach people how to use their own body as a gym. So why don't you go ahead and kind of explain that concept a little bit more fully and maybe give us a couple examples.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I am a big champion of this because, you know, I'm a single mom and I'm on the go just like everybody else. So I believe that it's important that we get creative with our workouts and make sure that we can fit it into our day. But as I was talking earlier in the interview, what I teach it, it's mind-muscle connection. It's almost like it's visualized resistance, and I also use an oxymoron to describe it as a moving isometric. So I know isometrics are usually static, but this is a moving isometric. So to give you an idea, what I want you to do is I want you to imagine that you're doing a bicep curl, okay?
Okay.
And again, I was talking about how powerful our minds are. Our minds can actually imagine the weights that you're envisioning in your hand. So go ahead and imagine a 15 or 20-pound weight or however strong you are. Go ahead and imagine that. Keep your arm close to your side, and I want you to slowly bring that arm up to your shoulder, slow and controlled, and I want you to flex with all your might, your bicep. So the front of your arm, you're flexing, 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 and you bring it all the way up to your shoulder, and then I want you to slowly, as you're still flexing, bring it all the way back down. Now, when you're doing that, you're going to be working the positive and the negative muscle groups at the same time. So you're working the bicep, the front of the arm, and the triceps, the back of the arm. You get more bang for your buck, right? So these are the type of exercises I teach. You do not need equipment. And for, you know, the average person to be seduced into thinking that they need gimmicks and propaganda that's on the marketplace, you just don't. I mean, literally, God gave us our gym. You don't need any equipment whatsoever. So I get really fired up about this because, you know, not only is busy an excuse for people not to work out, but money, finances are. And so this doesn't cost you a dime. It's your body. And so, and again, it doesn't put wear and tear on your joints, tendons, or ligaments. And another cool thing is it doesn't matter your athletic ability. I've worked with professional athletes, football players, and Olympians. I've also worked with people that have never worked out a day in their life. So you start with where you are, and you gradually build up based on what level of strength that you have or you're building up to with the level of tension that you use. So let me give you another example here. Are you doing these with me, Marnie?
I am.
All right. Now, this will be tough unless you have, like, a earbud in your ear. But what I'll have you do is stretch out both arms from side to side and make sure your shoulders aren't up in your ears, so they're relaxed. But I'm going to have you tense from fingertip to fingertip. So you've got your arms stretched out. And then what I want you to do is I want you to squeeze your arms forward. Try to bring your hands together, your arms together, like you're going to clap your hands. But squeeze them forward very slow and controlled. And I want you to imagine that there's like one of those big exercise balls right there in front of you that you're squeezing against, okay? Now you're going to bring your arms all the way to the front. They almost touch. And then I want you to squeeze as you bring your arms back to the beginning position. Now you're working your chest, your shoulders, your biceps, your triceps, your forearms, your back. And you're also going to be working your abdominal muscles because you hold your entire body tight as it's one unit. But those are the kind of exercises I teach. And I love it because I've worked with children. I've worked with seniors. I have a client. He's 92 years old. And let me tell you what, we've done exercises, and after 3 or maybe even closer to 4 months of working with him, he got off his blood pressure meds. I mean,
wow.
It's just incredible. And he was able to do stuff just seated in his chair. And those kind of just movements made a big difference in his health. So not only do you need to eat healthy, but you have to exercise accordingly. And this is, they go hand in hand. You can't do one without the other. I mean, you can, but you're not going to see the benefits that you truly deserve. You're really not.
The one that you had us do last where we were bringing our arms in together, it's almost like I could feel like it's a resistance against my hands just by envisioning it. It's really amazing how powerful that is.
It is. And even if you have to imagine that there's someone there, like there's someone there pushing against your arms so you can't bring them forward, whatever works for you, you know, just imagine that you can't bring them forward or backwards, and you'll be amazed at the strength and the tension that you're able to apply.
There's one more I want you to teach everybody, Wendy, because I've loved this one so much. It's one where you are actually working your abdominals and you stand up straight and then you kind of crush down over the top of yourself and then you pop back.
Yeah.
So kind of teach that in your words because I didn't do a very good job there.
No, that's good. No, this seems to be everyone's favorite, so I show it often. But and it's actually one of my favorites, too, just because you don't have to get on the ground to do any stomach exercises. You can do it.
Right, I can just sit at my desk. I mean, really,
absolutely.
I can literally do it at my desk.
So here's the concept, and so I hope you guys are all listening closely. But what you're going to do is you're going to inhale deeply through your nose. And as you inhale through your nose, first of all, put your hands on your stomach so you can feel what I'm talking about. As you inhale through your nose, I want you to lift your chest up and out, and your stomach is also coming up, okay? And then as you exhale through your mouth, I want you to make an S sound like this. And then as you exhale and release all that air, I want you to bring your stomach down and back to the spine, all right? You're gonna press all that air out. And a lot of times there's a little bit of air left. I want you to make sure you release it all, like make sure there's a last little breath, squeeze it all out. You'll even feel this in your low back because your abdominals are wrapped all the way around your back. So this is a great just energy booster, but it's also a great abdominal exercise. So do that several times, you know, 8 to 10 times. And I encourage people to do that in front of a mirror so you can really see the positive affirmation of the muscles working.
It's really so amazing that just with your own body, you can actually have a complete workout as if you had a set of weights. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, I crack up because, first of all, I'm going to use him as an example, but I trained Johnny Johnson. He used to play for the L.A. Rams, and he thought this was hilarious, right? He's like, oh, really? You're just going to imagine some weights. Well, I trained him, and I'm telling you what, that man was sweating profusely, and he could not believe it. He was so sore the next day, and so it just, you got to try it. I mean, if you're using the proper tension and if you're doing it correctly, you will get results. I mean, that's just the bottom line, and you're going to shed the fat, and you're going to replace with muscle, which is key, because when you're releasing that weight, you want to make sure that you stay toned and that you have that strength. A lot of people just want, you know, they're looking for the aesthetics part. They want to look good. But you want to have the strength, flexibility, endurance, speed, balance, and coordination that a good, healthy body can give you. And that's what Visibly Fit does.
And, of course, you're going to look good, too.
Absolutely. And then, yes, you will look good. But you know what, Marnie? It's really about getting creative, too, about throughout your day. I'll have clients set their alarms and do an exercise every hour. I call it power by the hour. Or every time they go to the bathroom, go do an exercise. So it becomes that neurological, you know, mindset of, oh, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll do an exercise. So it seems kind of silly, but it works.
No, I think that every time that I always, when I'm working with people to set new habits, I always say hook it to something. You can't just throw a habit into your life and expect it to work. You have to say, when I eat breakfast, I take my pills now, or when I, you know, vitamins or whatever. You have to hook it to something, so that makes perfect sense to me. Or when I get in my car, I just spend, you know, before I buckle up, I just spend 30 seconds or 60 seconds doing one of these exercises.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it makes it so doable, because those are the points where we actually have a couple minutes. I know what I did earlier, and I'm going to think about this now too, is incorporating into the restroom break. But what I did several years ago is I took the magazines out of the restroom and I just put a couple books in there, like Oswald Chambers, His Utmost for My Highest,
Love it.
Or My Utmost for His Highest, and 31 Days of Praise, like that. And what happens is that instead of just having a couple minutes between things, I actually get a spiritual charge when I go to the restroom. And, you know,
okay,
I mean,
it's... TMI. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I know. But you know what? It's time that usually is lost and wasted, and a big interruption. And what you can do is turn those minutes, like standing in line. That's a time I love standing in line, because standing in line is a time when I review Bible verses. In my head, I'm just like, okay, I'm pausing right here. And if I'm not engaging with someone who's around me, then I'm just reviewing Bible verses in my head. Or, you know, like waiting for a train. I have a different routine when I'm, because we have a train in our town that goes through all the time, and so you're just sitting waiting for a train. So there's all these different times so that you have the opportunity to add something that is of value to time that is otherwise valueless. And I love your exercise ideas, because you can just stick them anywhere.
You really can. I mean, honestly, in the car, I do exercises on the airplane. I actually have an airplane blog on my website that you can check out for some exercises to do right there in your seat, and no one will even really know. So there's things you can do all the time. You just have to retrain your mind. That's all it is, and it becomes a habit. I mean, I do things all the time. And I don't even think of it now. It's just second nature, which is good.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And it doesn't have to be this big ordeal.
No, absolutely not.
You can fit in with your daily life.
Doing a little something a lot adds up. So you don't have to do a big chunk, 1 hour here, 30 minutes here. It will add up in the same way. It's accumulative. You're still burning calories. You're building muscle. And it's effective. So it's just awesome, because it keeps your metabolism running faster, too, throughout the day.
So fun, so fun. Now, let's talk for a couple minutes about how to use obstacles to build toward your successes. And you started us off on this thought earlier when you were talking about how you ever found this exercise system or program, the mind and muscle connection, was because of an accident. You didn't come across it because life was all peachy keen. You came across it because of an accident. And when we are facing a challenge, a lot of times that's when we throw exercise, throw good eating out the window. At that moment, we make a choice to not go forward with the plan because, oh, there's too much other stuff going on in my life. how do you help people to get through the really tough points in life where they feel like, I just can't keep going with this too, that this is a this too thing?
Well, you know, we typically talk about other things that have happened in their life, and it's kind of a hindsight 2020 thing where they see the blessing that was in disguise during the situation or circumstance. And, of course, it may be, you know, it's been months or years later, but we talk through that. And so where their current situation or circumstance is right now, I try to, I show them how that they can see that same similarity within their, trouble or challenge that they're in right now. So it's really getting past the mindset of, oh, this is a challenge, woe is me, and how am I going to do this? Instead, be grateful and know that this could be a blessing in disguise, and to just love where you're at, praise God through it, and this too shall pass. I mean, that is just honest to goodness truth. This too shall pass. And so it's making the right choices and decisions as you're, you know, while you're in that challenge. Because like you said, to me, people, they often, you know, sabotage their diets and give up exercise, and they do exactly what the enemy would want them to do, is to go deeper and darker into the spiral. When really, if you just keep plugging away and you keep doing those positive steps in the midst of the challenge, when it doesn't even make sense and you don't feel like it, then you'll overcome it a lot quicker, and you'll see that blessing a lot quicker too.
I love that. And one of the things that I've come to embrace is that when, especially if I have just added a new, let's say, just added a new key component to my life, like I wasn't previously doing this particular thing, I was doing something less healthy or whatever, and then I changed my habit, I'm just in the initial stages there, I can almost count on it that I'm probably going to get some resistance there sometime close on. And I've even learned to just say, when that comes, say thank you, because what this is helping me do is it's helping me to get to the actual depth of the habit faster. The commitment level has to go deeper. If I'm just having smooth sailing and I'm doing this new habit, it's not being tested at all. But
that's
if
right.
Right at the beginning there's some testing that comes, I've grown to just really appreciate that testing, because it forces me right now to say, am I really going to stick with this, or am I really not ready for this yet? You know, is this something that I just don't want to do yet? And I have to make a choice, and I like that.
Absolutely. No, I believe that 100%. That's great.
You said something.
No,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, but don't let your challenges define, you know, who you are, and don't let your past challenges define who you are either. That's one thing that I'm very adamant about. You know, these are all, it's just life. Life,
it's
everyone's
life,
journey
right.
is different. And, you know, we just take the challenges as they come, but with gratitude, you know, because there is a blessing behind the challenge. There always is.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And, yeah, it's really, actually, I really love the smooth sailing parts, too. Don't get me wrong.
Well, yeah, don't we all, right?
Yeah, right. It is wonderful if we can just sail smoothly for a while. But it is interesting to see that a lot of times when we set out on a new endeavor, that we get some good testing right at the front part of it that helps us to just clarify whether we're really committed to it or not. And
well,
it doesn't come at the beginning,
too,
it'll come sometime.
Absolutely. And I think, Marnie, too, that when we have those smooth sailing times, those are the times that we are truly to be the teacher and mentor in other people's lives, because there's someone around you that's probably going through a similar situation that you have just come out of, that you can mentor through it, and you can bless them by sharing what you have gone through and overcome. So I believe those smooth sailing times are a time of blessing for somebody else too.
Yeah. I like to call them my barracks or front line. Either I'm on the front line fighting hard, or else I'm in the barracks resting. And so I like to think about it like that. Either way, there is a war going on, and we need to be cognizant of it, that just because it's smooth sailing today doesn't mean it will be every day, and just because it's awful and hard today doesn't mean it will be every day. It's just where we
That's
are today.
Right.
We'll come through it. A little earlier in this set here, you said, I try, and then you changed that, and you said, I don't try, I show. And that's a really big principle, Wendy, isn't it? Don't try, do.
Just do, exactly. Right when I said that, it's like my coaching hat came on. I go, whoa.
I know.
Did I say try?
Don't say that.
No, because I coach my clients all the time, don't say try. So see how that triggered even for me? But, yeah, it's not about trying. It's about doing. You don't just try some exercise program. You don't just try to go on a diet because you're going to fail. If you try, you do it. And you go in with intention and commitment and perseverance, and you will succeed. And that is the difference between try versus do. So I'm glad you caught that.
Yeah. Well, as soon as you did it, I thought that's so fun because I do that too. If I catch myself saying something in a less healthy way, in a less faithful way, I like to just stop right mid-sentence like you did there and just change it. Because what we're doing is we're teaching our mind to believe, to have hope. I always say the number one reason why people don't reach their goals is because they lose faith before they get there. And you know, you just can't, it's like planting a seed in the ground and then pulling it up every day. You know, like, I'm not sure if this is growing. Well, it's never going to grow if you keep doing that. You just got to plant it in there, leave it in there. And if something comes along, like if some wind comes along and knocks it down, well, set it back up again and treat it like you would a little plant, a little seedling. And if
there's
a big storm and it's a bigger idea by then, well, then get some sticks and get some ropes and help it to stand back up again. But don't keep pulling it out. And so it's so important for us to be careful what we're thinking about.
It is, and it takes practice. And
it does.
And practice makes permanent, not perfect.
Right.
So, you know, I'm a big proponent of that. It's not about being perfect because none of us are perfect. None of us ever will be. We all have our flaws and we all have our hiccups. But it's about, you know, staying the course and practicing so it does become permanent habits. And so you do catch yourself when you say try versus do and those kind of things. So it's just constant practice. I mean, that's why I work out all the time throughout the day because I've practiced it for well over, you know, 10 years, 12 years. And it just is a way of life. It's a lifestyle for me. I can't imagine not doing it. And so, you know, it's like brushing your teeth or combing your hair. I mean, can you imagine leaving the house without brushing your teeth? Ugh, I don't think so. So, you know, it's the same kind of thing, and that's how habits are created, and that's what I'm grateful for whenever I work with my clients and I see them, you know, get rid of one old bad habit and replace it with a new good and pure habit. I'm just excited for them. It's really good.
Oh, that's so great. One of my mentors, Larry Conrad, he was catching himself, and he'd say, unbelievable. Whenever something was really great, he'd go, unbelievable. And it was so cute to watch him work through that mental habit that he had to say unbelievable. And he would start to say, and then he'd go, no, this is awesome. God, this is believable. Yeah, and it was so cute. And he did it so visibly. And it was just as a great example to me of remember it's so important how you talk to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and that just brings us into the last point that we wanted to cover. The seventh key here today to releasing your excess weight now is to adopt a lifestyle of gratitude and joy.
Mm-hmm.
That is so important, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and it's about, you know, having those gratitude-type words in your vocabulary and using them often. I mean, yeah, you don't want to use unbelievable or can't and, you know, different words like that. No, it is believable, and I can and I will and, you know, things like that. Or that's extraordinary. Well, that's really not a great word in my opinion. It means you're extraordinary. I don't want to be extraordinary. You know, I don't even use that word. You know, so people just need to think about the words and the root of the words and really create new vocabulary so that they can just have more of gratitude behind it. Because, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And those words, they have such power.
They do.
Well, if you're
listening and you haven't gone through the Eating with God program yet, I hope that you will go over to eatingwithgod.com. And that is going to help you start to change your mind. And Wendy, you also are offering just a wonderful, actually a free 7-video series called Wake Up with Wendy. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a great series. It's kind of the boot camp basics, but it's a great series to get involved with. It's good reminders on how to read labels, how to order at a restaurant, how to exercise, you know, and you get a free meal plan configurator, all kinds of great things. But, yeah, you can get that on my website, or if you go to my fan page, which is facebook.com/visiblyfit, like that page and then also sign up for the free videos, and they'll be sent to your inbox. I'd love to see you there.
Okay, great. Now, if somebody's interested in learning more of your Visibly Fit exercise routines, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, they can go to my website, and I have different DVDs there. They'll see several of them. I always encourage people to start out with the Visibly Fit 7x11, which are the core seven exercises of the entire program. And I call it 7x11 because I encourage people to get these core seven exercises, which are incredibly powerful, get them in your schedule between 11 a.m. or 11 p.m. It's your schedule. You figure it out. Just get them in between before those times. And so that's the kind of the meat and potatoes, if you will, of the entire program. And then there's Firm and Fabulous, which is the booty and above the waist, and then your abdominals. And so those are great DVDs. And I have one for baby boomers, and I also have one for kiddos. So if you have a child that's 8 years or younger, we've got a great video there. It is the basic 7x11 videos made kid-friendly, and there's a sing-along song, and we teach them how to eat and how much water to drink, and it's just a lot of fun. So, yeah, you can get that on wendypet.com.
And that's actually one of your crusades, isn't it, to get kids visibly fit?
It is, but another part of that is really zoning in on the ladies, on the women, because, again, we are the nucleus of the family. And so what we are enabling our child to eat, that's you know, how they're going to grow into becoming either a health food nut or I don't know, a fast food junkie. It depends on how we're feeding them. But, you know, more is caught than taught. And so the more you can show them how to eat instead of telling them, the better it's going to be for your family. So, yeah, I'm really about their moms and children. Mm. And I even have an organization called Grace in Action, and it's for moms and children in need, which is a totally different deal there, but I have a big passion for single moms and children.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, before we go here, we have a couple minutes left. Wendy, I want you to be honest with us and tell us what is your greatest food splurge? What is it that you save up and enjoy that you look forward to that's not maybe the healthiest thing in the world, but that you look forward to having?
That's a good question. I didn't know you were going to ask me that one.
No, I know. That was a surprise.
You know, I think I really enjoy popcorn every now and then, and I'm not a corn fan at all, like can't stand it, but popcorn with the right movie, yep, that would be my weakness. Yep, got it.
And now I want to ask you, on a day when you decide that you are not going to have popcorn because for whatever reason, it's just maybe an over-calorie day or whatever, you want that popcorn but you're not going to have it, what is it that you say to yourself right then?
You know, for me, I just say no. Next time, next movie, whatever. But, you know, I don't eat it all the time, and so I just know that it's always a special treat. Like it was my son's birthday the other day, and so I had popcorn. We saw a movie. So, you know, special occasions, I really fit it in. But I don't deny myself too much. I just get like maybe my son orders it and I get a handful. Or, you know what I mean? I make it so I can still have a little, but I don't eat all of it.
Okay. All right. So instead of saying no, really, I mean, sometimes you do say no, but mostly you just say, let's just have a little.
Absolutely. And I don't think anything's wrong with that. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what I really love about eating.
It's the 80-20 rule.
Yeah,
you know,
I love that about eating with God is that put it on the tongue, really enjoy the flavor, and you find that you do not have to have an entire bucket of something to get the flavor.
No way.
Yeah, that it's really, really enjoyable. God made food to be enjoyable. He's made our bodies in such an amazing way. Wendy, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Have a good time.
Oh, thanks. And everybody, you can learn more about Wendy at her website, wendypet.com. It's WendiePet.com. And you can also request over there the 7 video series, Wake Up with Wendy Pet. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope that you turn your body into a gym and that you eat with God and that you let us know how it's going for you. Thanks for being here. Bye-bye. See you next time.